Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage holiday advice from not one but two holiday technology experts. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On the show, we take holiday questions from listeners and, I just threw myself off, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success and maybe even have some holiday spirit along the way.
And perhaps even forget my line, which was, in fact, to say that it is not just what we call ourselves, but it's what our moms tell people when they have their holiday tech questions.
You know, I think we have these scripts so well memorized that it's like muscle memory. And as soon as you change even one word, it like throws the whole thing off.
Yeah, I'm going to take the fall for that one. I threw you off. I was too quick because in your mind, there was more time before you had to speak. And so by my skipping that line, your brain just had no idea what to do. The muscle memory was gone.
It's okay. I forgive you. I think we can just move on from that.
And no, thank you. Talk about that's it. So holiday cheer of you. I really appreciate that. Aw, there's my sweet boy.
Tis the season.
Tis indeed, as they say, the season. And, you know, what better gift this holiday season, frankly, than the new iPhone sock. And you know what? I say that jokingly, but I'm honestly only a little bit joking because I have a confession to make, Noah. I kind of like it.
Okay, I want to look at it because I watched Sam's video about it, so I saw some of the pictures, but I want to see this thing up close.
Because the thing is, I mean, obviously people have been making fun of it because, well, frankly, it is just a $150 piece of fabric, shall we say. It's the iPhone Pocket, but it's a sock. And it's $230 for the crossbody long size, or a bargain at $150 for the short size. Comes in a range of colors, which, why don't we go ahead and pull this up on screen here? Might as well. Because, I mean, look. Here's the thing about Apple and these types of collabs. When Apple does these things with fashion designers, in this case, it's Issey Miyake, and they've obviously done stuff with Hermes all the time. So people make fun of it because, look, it's expensive, right? But it's funny that, you know, people are making these jokes as iPhone users because, like, have you seen Apple, all Apple products, basically? We're not exactly beating the allegations here. But crucially, I think another detail that some people are missing is that this collab with Issey Miyake is I think, honestly, a very fitting collaboration because I don't know if you knew this, Noah, but Issey Miyake was the main, was the designer that Steve Jobs swore by. All of his turtlenecks for all those years were all Issey Miyake turtlenecks. So this is a brand and a designer that Apple does have a connection with, at the very least.
Yeah, I actually didn't know that until I watched Sam's video earlier today, but I thought that was pretty cool. Like, there's definitely... I don't think I recall, like, an explicit collaboration with them before. Maybe it happened and I just don't remember, but, like, there's definitely a connection there. So I think that's pretty cool. I don't know how I feel about this thing. Like, okay, you're looking at the short one right now.
Yes.
So, like, go to the third picture where it's, like, the picture with the person. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, is that what you're supposed to do? You just, like, drape it over your arm? Is that – or the fourth picture, it's, like, on a bag or something. So, like, I guess I could see, like, you attach it to a bag or something. But, like, what exactly is the point of this, especially the short version of it?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Look, here's the deal. A lot of people that are making fun of this are, one, men. Let's just not make any mistake about it, right? And the thing is, this isn't really a product for tech enthusiasts because tech enthusiasts wear socks and sandals. We wear graphic tees. We wear cargo shorts, okay? This is not the target demographic for this product. Fashion-forward people and especially women where, like, dude, I know so many women that have Pro Max iPhones. What single garment of women's clothing has a pocket that can handle a Pro Max? I'm just going to say it. It's not a thing. You're not going to find it. And so... What this is, I mean, obviously, in the world of fashion, things don't necessarily have to make a ton of sense, but I would argue that this kind of does. I mean, look, there's a reason that they use this female-presenting model for the cover photo here, because it's like, okay, I could see you're going out to the clubs, and you want to have your iPhone protected instead of just holding it or putting it in a bag with keys and other stuff like that. And then obviously the long version, like as a crossbody, to me that makes the most sense because I feel like this is at least no less practical than the iPhone lanyard strap, which, I mean, this is better than the lanyard strap. I'll say that.
Yeah, I think, like, the long version makes sense to me as a crossbody. The short version doesn't make as much sense to me, but I think that's kind of not really the point because, first of all, like you said, I don't think we're really the target audience of this particular product. If it makes sense for people to hold their phone like that, or, like, every picture they show a person holding it and they show it attached to a bag.
Mm-hmm.
And the bag case I could kind of see.
Yeah.
Like, it's an accessory for the bag. And it's, like, you know, secure. It's, like, tied on there. Like, it's not going to come off. Like, that could make sense to me. But I feel like at the end of the day, not only are we not the target, like, audience for this thing, but it is kind of like a designer. I mean, they're collaborating with a designer. Like, yeah, it's expensive, but, like, designer goods are expensive. And
yeah.
They're not, like, they're not worth. Like, I think about all the stuff that, like, Sam has, you know, the Supreme stuff and whatever. And I'm just like, you're not. Those things are very expensive, and it's just because they're expensive, like they're designer stuff, and I feel like this is kind of that too. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think you're definitely right. And like if I switch over to like the Issey Miyake website for their like actual line of clothing, I feel like, I mean, you can kind of see the connection here. This is not the type of thing that iPhone enthusiasts that frankly watch my channel are going to buy. But at the same time, I feel like it's a little bit fun. It's a little bit funky. It's like, do you remember iPod socks?
Yeah, of course.
It's very reminiscent to me of iPod socks. I don't know. I just think that it's kind of like a fun little thing to do. I think high fashion in collaboration with tech is a tricky thing to get right because it's two different demographics of people and they don't typically overlap all that often. I mean, high fashion people wouldn't really blink twice at something like that, but tech enthusiasts, well, they love to clutch pearls and blink many times, more than twice, I would say, at things that are a little bit unusual, like the lanyard strap. But again, the lanyard strap got iPhone event time. That was clearly like a, hey, this is like a thing that people are going to buy. And everyone was kind of like, why? But then this, as like a more, you know, one-off press release designer collaboration, yes, I could see that. I could see that. Fair enough. But I wanted to touch really quickly, though, on a comment that I saw that did, in fact, make me very sad. iPhone Air folks must be crying that a sock outsold the Air. And I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I'm a little salty about that. Have you been seeing all the reports that the iPhone Air is basically a sales disaster?
I don't think I knew it was that bad.
Oh, it's bad. It's bad.
No.
The information, I think, was saying... the information reported... Let me pull this up as well. That the sales are so bad, Apple is delaying the next generation version that was going to come out next year.
Bro, come on.
Yeah. And I want to say there's another comment here that I think is pretty accurate, which is from Ryan here with a great profile picture, by the way, of Clippy. Apple isn't marketing the Air. That's what's weird about this. And that's totally right. Like, dude, they have not been... I feel like they have not been capturing people's attention with this phone.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Apple has a tendency to do that. Like, we've talked about it with the Mini. I feel like this thing came out, the Air came out, and it probably didn't... I guess it didn't sell that well initially. And then Apple, instead of being like, oh, let's put some, like, love into this and, like, try to get it to sell, they're like, oh, well, no one wants it. Let's just give up on it immediately.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe that's what's kind of happened.
It's just disappointing because it feels like that's kind of their... That's a Google thing, you know? Google would introduce a product, kind of half-ass it, not really, you know, try that hard, and then forget about it and move on. Stadia, right? That thing got yoinked pretty much immediately. But that typically hasn't been how Apple does things. They've always taken the route of, you know, we're going to announce something, we're going to stand behind it, we're going to market it, and sooner or later, people are going to like it. A lot of Apple products have been bemoaned as impractical. The MacBook Air, the iPad, the Apple Watch, AirPods. Like, a lot of these products, when they were announced, people resisted them. Do you remember when AirPods came out and everyone was like, so you're telling me that instead of the free pair of headphones that I got in the box, now I have to pay $170? People made fun of them.
Yeah, and the look. That was the look of them, like, dangling out of your ears. That was a big thing people made fun of.
Yeah, people would do you remember there, like, people, like, on Vine especially, because it was right at the end of Vine. But people on social media would, like, put in ear pods and, like, snip the wires off and be like, look at me, I got the new AirPods. And now everybody has them. That was a market that Apple literally just created out of thin air. Because everybody used the free headphones that came in the box with every single iPhone, or that you could buy for, and I think you still can buy them, by the way, for $20. And Apple went, hey, we're going to make these now $250 for AirPods Pro, and you see them every single day. Every single day.
It's true, and I love them. AirPods have always been one of my favorite Apple products since they came out. I got the original ones, the original AirPods, like, a little while after they came out. And ever since then, I've loved the AirPods. I use them every single day. Great product.
Yeah. And, like, when you look back at the original AirPods, it honestly, I feel like I could create some parallels to the iPhone Air. Let's start. Number one, more expensive for arguably no reason. The AirPods, the original AirPods, didn't really sound that different from the ear pods that came in the box. Were they better? Yes. But free versus $170, it was an uphill climb. They also, you know, had a battery. But then at the same time, despite the price and despite the fact that you didn't gain that much more, they were technologically advanced. They weren't the first wireless earbuds, but remember in like 2016, those were the days where wireless earbuds very often had to be paired to each other before you could pair them to your phone. Do you remember that?
I don't think I ever had wireless earbuds before AirPods, but I do remember like that was the very early. I mean, I was still using like wired. I used to carry the wired earpods like in my pocket every day to high school.
Yep, yeah. Me too. And I would, you know, in the square case where you'd put them in and you'd wrap the wire around and then pop it in your pocket. I loved those. I carried them. I mean, I used them pretty much constantly from the iPhone 5, which is when they introduced the, well, they called them ear pods instead of the headphones that came before them, which were terrible. Remember the round ones? Oh, those things were awful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Most uncomfortable thing that has ever been invented. But
yeah,
the ear pods were great. I used them for 4 years. Actually, no, I even used them for longer than that because I didn't get the original AirPods.
Oh, well, yeah.
But either way, like, they were technologically advanced, expensive, and required you to change. I mean, honestly, dude, wait, the more that I think about it, the more that the iPhone Air is exactly like AirPods. Because everybody at the time was like, look, $170 gets you a really, really nice pair of headphones, like wired, earbuds, over ear, whatever it was. And Apple was coming in and saying, we need that for earbuds. But the thing is, people, I guess two things. One, they're more accessible. It's an accessory and it's under $200. They were a great stocking stuffer, Christmas, birthday gift type thing as well. And then they were also, they were marketed. I remember you would see the ads on like billboards that they had. Do you remember those original ads where it was like the sort of the side profile and it was just like the white earpod, AirPod, and they would have them on buses, on billboards, and the TV ad. I can picture it in my mind, the ad that ran on the TV for like a year. Apple really said, we're doing this, you're doing this, it's time to get on board. They have not done that with the iPhone Air. They haven't. I have only seen, gosh, I mean, I don't think I've seen a single billboard for it. I've only seen the pros.
That's true. I have seen the pros on billboards around my area. I don't think I've seen any, the Air, the regular, not that they, the regular is just the regular, but no, I haven't seen anything for the Air. But yeah, I feel like with the AirPods, you know, they did a big marketing push. And then I just remember, like, I don't remember how long it was, like a year and a half or something after the AirPods came out. I remember, like, this was when we were in college, and I remember coming back to school for another semester and suddenly seeing everyone wearing AirPods. Mm-hmm. It was like something like switched. I think it might have been like the winter, so maybe it was like Christmas season and like everyone got them for Christmas or something. But like, I remember I had them before a lot of other people did, but I remember going back to school that like next semester or whatever, and like so many people had them. And then once all these people have them and you see them around everywhere, they like kind of advertise themselves, or it like creates this like that's network true. Effect where you see it so much that it just reinforces it.
That's a great point. The social proof aspect of marketing is really undervalued, I think. I remember in my marketing minor learning all about that. And a lot of people kind of like discount that. But like seriously, straight up, one of the most powerful forms of advertising is just seeing other people using a product. That's exactly what happened with AirPods Max. These things, when they came out, everybody made fun of them. It wasn't until like 2023 when they kind of reached that critical mass and everybody started using them. But I feel like the problem with the iPhone Air right now is Apple's going out of order. So I'll say anecdotally, I would be curious to know your thoughts on this as well. But as I've been, you know, daily driving, I wasn't kidding. I'm using the iPhone Air every single day. You know, a lot of people, when I made this video, they were like, 2 weeks later, I'm switching back to the Pro Max. I'm not doing it. I'm a diehard. I'm sticking with the Air. And the thing that has surprised me the most is that in social settings, since I've been using this phone for the past two, three months, I have noticed that people don't actually know what it is. Whenever I meet somebody new, right, and I exchange phones to like get somebody's Instagram and give them my Instagram, you know, I grab their phone, put the name in, they take mine. Every single time they're like, whoa, holy crap, this thing is so thin. What is this? Like, people still don't know what it is. And I think that's a big problem that Apple needs to solve. And the way to solve that, it's not new. It's to run ad campaigns that are purely focused on visuals. If you go back to the 2000s when Apple was at their peak, they barely ever showed any features of their product.
Yeah, I mean, like, even I'm just thinking about those classic like iPod commercials where it was just the people dancing, like the multicolored people dancing with the headphones in. Yeah, it wasn't talking about features and specs and anything. It was just showing like, look at how much fun these people are having dancing with their iPods. Go get an iPod and you can have fun like them too. Yeah. And I feel like, yeah, the Air, the whole thing about the Air is that it's super thin and light. And that is such a visual thing. Like, you could make beautiful visuals to show how thin and light it is, and you could show it slipping into someone's pocket, and like, there's so much that you could do with that to like convey it. There was a comment that someone said that was like, the thing about the Air that you cannot get across in any ad is how light it is. That was what someone said in the chat a couple minutes ago.
Oh, yes.
And I agree. It is really thin and light, and maybe you can't fully get that experience across, but I think that you could communicate that idea and get people interested in it or thinking about it. And maybe they'll say, oh, I'll check out my Apple store and see, or, oh, I'm getting the next phone. Maybe I should consider that one. It looks really nice. That's what they need to do.
Absolutely. And I do think that some of the rumors that we've seen about adding a second camera, that would, I think, help a lot. I feel like the Air is so close. Because like you're saying, it's hard to get across what it feels like to use the Air without actually using it. But you have to plant that seed and you have to get people to want it. And the problem is right now there are those two major barriers of people that prevent people from wanting it. One is the battery life, and two is the cameras. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I think the battery life concern is overblown. I have not really, like, I don't really find myself having any concerns. Like, I'm sitting here right now, I'm at 46%. I haven't used it a ton, but I have not felt limited by the iPhone Air's battery. And I think if they were to work a little wizardry, figure out how to make it a little denser, or, you know, optimize it a little bit, I think a next generation that had even, you know, 15% better battery life, in my mind, it's now a non-issue. And then the camera, I think, is the only real limitation. And I definitely do find myself missing the full camera suite, especially the ultra wide. I use that the most. I can deal with the 1x, 2x, but the lack of the ultra wide is tough. I know a lot of people are split on that. I'm actually curious, which camera would you add if you had to put a second one on the Air?
Yeah, I am torn because like I just did a trip to Colorado with the iPhone Air because I'm also you know, on the iPhone Air train.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying it out, and you know, the single camera is great, but there were definitely some times where I wish that I had, you know, the 0.5, and there were times that I wish that I could go up to 5x zoom.
Mm.
And I feel like if they're going to add one, it would probably be 0.5, just because like the telephoto or whatever, I think that has to be like a pretty big and like deep module.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe that will be harder to fit into the Air. You know, so maybe they would do, yeah, I don't know. But I feel like in terms of which one I would prefer for them to add, I think the ultra wide is very nice. It lets you, I guess the thing is, you can always zoom in and you can do digital zoom, and it might not look that great, but like at least you have an option to do it in a pinch, whereas you can't zoom out, you can't go out past, you know, 1x.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of agree that like the ultra wide, I mean, you can use the front facing camera and like turn your phone around, and you know, it's kind of a bit hacky, but you could make it work. But I kind of agree that there were a lot of cases on that trip where I was like, I wish I could zoom out even more. Like, I'm not quite capturing everything that I want to see in this frame. I wish I could go to 0.5.
Have you on those trips, have you done the old flip the camera around, use the front facing for the ultra wide? Because I've been doing that a little bit. If I need to take a picture that is like, I guess, not artistic, but you know what I mean? Like, if I'm trying to take a nice picture, that's not typically what I do. But if I'm trying to just increase the field of view and get a wider shot, I will do that from time to time. I think you're right. The telephoto would just be impractical on the Air because it's such a big module with that tetraprism lens. And honestly, I'd be perfectly happy if they just put an ultra wide. It would spoil the look just a little bit to have like a second dot over here, because I guess that's where it would go. So, you know, it wouldn't be quite as clean. But I do think that if Apple really tried, I think that this phone could catch on, because it really is one of those things that when you use it for like one day, and you go and you pick up any other smartphone, Android, iPhone, doesn't matter, you go, oh, wait a minute, that feels like the past. Like literally every time, that exact scenario that I mentioned earlier where I'm trading phones to exchange IG with somebody. Every single time I do that, I hand away my iPhone Air, I pick up, chances are it's usually a 15, 16, or 17 Pro, and I just go, ooh, it's so thick, it's so heavy, it looks like a phone, it looks like a little brick with a screen on it, whereas the Air is like a screen with this nice little frame around it. It almost doesn't feel like a phone at all. And my closing thoughts, I saw this comment from Ryan again. We are a generation that spends too much time on their phone, but as somebody who wants to be more efficient and more minimalist, the Air is great. Just upgrade the camera and it's perfect. And I agree. I feel like the sense of being just a little bit more unplugged, a little bit more present in the world is what I really like about it. I don't need to have a phone that's like sensory overload. Here is every single thing that you could ever think of in one phone. It's like, hey, what if the phone was just nice?
Yeah, no, I agree. I wanted to talk about you talk about when you were exchanging phones with people,
yeah,
and they would comment, because I have not had that experience.
Really?
There have been two cases where someone has noticed me using the phone and they've said, oh, that's the iPhone Air. One of them was my friend that I saw on this trip recently. And one of them was someone I was sitting next to on the plane. I was using the phone and he noticed. He was like, oh, that's the iPhone Air. What do you think about it? Mm. Whatever. But most of the time when I hand this phone to someone to take a picture or whatever, they never comment on it. And I'm like, I'm always waiting for them to be like, wow, what a cool phone. Like, what is this? Whatever. But like, I don't know. I just have the different... like a different experience than you, because I feel like people don't comment on my phone. I don't know what it is.
That is interesting. I mean, I won't say that it's every single time, but it's definitely like, it's definitely been pointed out to me. So that's interesting. I mean, look, I've also not had somebody on the plane make a comment, or somebody that I don't know ask if it's the iPhone Air. So that's, I feel like that alone, that's a pretty big sort of recognition. I'm hoping I'm hoping that the iPhone Air will start to catch on in the same way that a lot of Apple's other more niche products have, because obviously, look, nobody's out here arguing that it is popular among the enthusiasts, but the general public typically is pretty far behind when it comes to just awareness of tech. I do think that the cameras are the biggest thing. Like, most people that buy the Pro phones do it because of the cameras. And I feel like I guess when I really think about it, the iPhone Air kind of misses the two, if we think about normal people demographics. And I'm talking about, you know, within our age cohort, because that's what I know the best. I feel like a lot of women buy the Pro iPhone because they want to have all the different cameras and they want the best battery life. And I feel like the Pro just has like a cachet about it. I was talking to my friend yesterday who, when the phones were announced, she was like, you know, I have a 13 Pro. I'm not really sold on the look of the 17 Pro, so I might get a regular. And I was like, whoa, that's surprising. But then I saw her yesterday, and lo and behold, she had a Pro. I was like, so what changed? And she said, well, it's just, you know, if I'm going to buy a new phone, I want to just get the best one. So I wanted to get the Pro because it's the best. And like, that is absolutely a thing. A lot of women buy the phone because it's the best and it has the most cameras to take the most pictures. Fair enough. And a lot of men buy it because big screen, battery life, and then also cameras. I think that it's weird that the Pro is able to appeal to very different people for the same reasons almost. And the Air feels like it slips. The Air is more like an Issey Miyake iPhone sock, right? It's cool. It's stylish. It's a little bit different. It's easy to make fun of, but there's something about it.
No, I completely agree with you. And I feel like the thing for me is I'm also in that boat where I'm like, if I'm going to spend a lot of money on something, I want to get the best one, or I want to get a really good one. If it's something cheap that I don't really care about, I'm like, whatever, I'll get a cheap one. It's fine. But if it's something like, you know, the phone that I'm going to use every day that I'm going to spend at least $1,000 on, I'm like, let me get the best one. And I think that the thing that I love so much about the Air is that, you know, I've had a Pro iPhone since, I guess you could say arguably since there have been Pro iPhones. I mean, I didn't have the 7 Pro, but I didn't have any 7 at all. And then I had the iPhone 10. I skipped the 10S, I skipped the 11, but then the 12 Pro, whatever. I've had Pros for a while, and then I switched to the Pro Max for the iPhone 15, and I was kind of just like, okay, well, you know, now I'm like locked into the Pro Max. I'm just going to be, you know, I'm going to be spending the most amount of money every year, getting the biggest, chunkiest possible phone every year. And we had those rumors a couple years ago about the iPhone Ultra, and I was like, oh God, when that thing comes out, am I going to have to buy this like even more expensive, even bigger, even bulkier iPhone Ultra? But like, you know what? It's the best one. And so maybe that's how it's going to be. But the thing that I love about the Air is that, like, objectively on paper, it's not the best one, but it's like, it's the best in its own way. It's not the best iPhone period, but it's the best, in my opinion. It looks so much better than the Pro. And just the thinness and the lightness and the practicality and everything about it, it was like, it was the first time, to me at least, that there wasn't an all-around obvious answer.
Yes.
The Pro is still objectively the best phone, but it's not the end-all be-all. I think that the Air still has a place. And so the fact that I was able to get this one, you know, the compromises were, I was willing to make the compromises, and then I was able to spend a bit less money. I got a bit smaller of a phone. It's still, it's the perfect size in my opinion, but it's smaller than the Pro Max. and it's thinner and it's lighter and whatever. And so the fact that, like, it wasn't, it's not just worse. Like, spec-wise on paper, sure. But, like, when you consider the whole package, it's not strictly worse than the Pro, like the regular 17 would be. It's just, it's just distinct in its own way. And, like, that's kind of what, that's how I was able to, or I was willing to get it. Because I didn't feel like I was, while I was compromising on some features, I wasn't compromising on, oh, I'm getting, like, a worse phone. I was actually just getting a different phone, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's not an obvious choice, and it's not worse, it's different. I think that's a great way to put it. And that's part of what drew me to it as well. And I hope, I don't know, dude, it makes me bummed because, and I promise we'll move on from the iPhone Air. Let me try to widen the conversation a little bit, just because I feel like where the iPhone Air got me excited was the idea that we could have tech products like that that were more style focused again and were more experience based than feature based. And I feel like in the last couple of years, if we talk about this across the board, I think Apple products have had a bit of a revolution since 2019 with a much greater focus on functionality as opposed to form. And that, you know, it's not a coincidence. That was basically the rejection of the Johnny Ive era. In 2019 is when he left to go form the new Love From company and do some other stuff. And Apple's products have taken a different direction. I mean, you look at the current generation MacBook Pro, it got thicker, it got a little bit bulkier, it gained I/O that it had previously lost. You look at even the iPad, you know, the iPad has basically retained its form factor in the interest of adding function. And they've even removed things that people didn't use, like the ultra-wide camera. They just said, we don't need it anymore, so let's get rid of it. And when you look at the iPhone, you see the same thing. Pretty much every year for the past 6 years, they have gotten a little bit thicker. They have gotten larger. They have had bigger and bigger camera bumps. Apple is not afraid to say, hey, you want a better camera? Well, it's going to stick out more. You want more functionality? Well, your camera bump is now a camera plateau. And you're just going to have to deal with that. And people are willing to make that trade. And I think it's a good trade. You know, I think that this generation of MacBook Pro is undeniably better than the one that came before it. But despite all of that, I think that Apple's design has suffered as a result of that. And while I celebrated and continue to celebrate the time given to features and functionality, you know, the cooling in the new MacBooks, the I/O, the level of performance, the lack of thermal issues that we used to have. We don't have bend gates anymore. We don't have overheating MacBooks that thermal throttle anymore. That's all good. But what I was hoping the iPhone Air would be a social proof that there is a market for people who are willing to buy the thing that is the best to use without being the best overall, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And I definitely agree with you. I feel like the iPhone, like the 17 Pro and Pro Max are like such a good like case study in this. Because I feel like they are more function, their function over form more than any iPhone has been. When you look about them, you see them going from going away from titanium back to aluminum. You look at that like two-tone design, the camera plateau, like all of this stuff, right? They changed the case material to like add that additional cooling and make it more cool. And then they had to do the sort of two-tone design that I'm not really a big fan of in order to make the wireless charging work. Also with the new material and whatever, like this whole, like all of this stuff, I feel like the iPhone 17 Pro and Pro Max look very functional in the sense that they, I don't think that they look particularly nice. They look like what I imagined the iPhone Ultra was going to look like back when we had those rumors.
Yes.
It's like very much, it's very much function over form. And I'm not saying that they're necessarily ugly, but like, honestly, maybe they are. I just, that's the first time that I haven't liked the look of an iPhone is with the Pro Series. I really, I'm not a fan of the look, but
I agree.
I feel like I agree that the Air is, you know, sort of that different thing. It's the sort of form over function, or, you know, ideally you would have both. And I think the magic thing about Apple is that in the past they've been able to have both, you know, to some extent. But yeah, I'm trying to think, like, I'm almost trying to compare like the MacBook Air to the MacBook Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if that's a fair comparison to compare that versus like the iPhone Air versus the iPhone Pro. I mean, the naming lines up, but the iPhone Air has most of the features that the Pro has. It has the same processor. I think it's a slightly binned version, but it's still the Pro processor and whatever. I guess the iPhone Air doesn't have a Pro processor in it. But again, it has a lot of, you know, has some things in common. I don't know. Like, the Air is sort of the it's almost form. It's, it, I think the form is a lot better in the Air because it's just so thin and it's so light. But the Air is really popular. The MacBook Air is really popular. The iPhone Air is not selling very well. And that's also the thin and light, you know, to the chunkier versions. Like, what's the disconnect there? The Air, the Mac versus the iPhone.
So I think that the, that's a great point, because a lot of people have said, well, the iPad Air sells pretty well. The MacBook Air sells pretty well. Why would an iPhone Air not? And I think the answer is that the iPhone Air is a different type of Air. I talked about this a little bit in my video where I mentioned getting, you know, I'm ditching the Pro. And the reason for that is that the Air name was kind of rebranded in the late 2010s to be the cheap version. You know, the iPad Air is thicker than the iPad Pro, and it has thicker bezels than the iPad Pro and less features overall. So the Air is now, you know, it means the cutback version. The MacBook Air is thinner, but it's not more premium. But back in the day, the original naming of the Air was as the premium version. The original MacBook Air was literally positioned exactly the same as the iPhone Air, right? You had the MacBook, you had the MacBook Pro, and then in the middle you had the Air, which was maybe somewhere in between in terms of functionality, although it was actually slower than both computers realistically, but its goal was design, thin and light, portability. And that's exactly what we have with the iPhone 17, 17 Pro, and then the Air in the middle. Same with the iPad Air, the original one. It came out as this radically thin, very pretty premium device. And then after about 2015, Apple, I think, started to kind of shift what the Air meant. At that point, the MacBook Air had already replaced the MacBook as the, you know, the $999 entry-level MacBook, which is what it remains to this day. And I don't know. I think that there could be room for a bit of a reconfiguring of Apple's lineup to have, like, you know, a three-tiered system where you have, like, the basic, the fancy, you know, the powerful, and then the, like, the sexy. You know what I mean? It's like regular, pro, sexy. I like that. And that's where I was hoping the Air could shine. Like, imagine if there was a MacBook that was, you know, we've heard these rumors about a low-cost MacBook, which we'll touch on in a second, but imagine a premium MacBook, thinner than a MacBook Air, not quite as powerful because it's going to have to, you know, have some thermal limitations. But let's say they gave it like that OLED display with ProMotion and just ridiculously thin, like a sheet of glass. You know, some premium feeling material in the same way that the Air has titanium. I feel like there could be room for that. I guess they tried and failed with the MacBook, the 12-inch MacBook in 2015, though.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like now with Apple Silicon, they could bring that back. And yeah, I did want to talk about the entry-level MacBook, because I feel like that could potentially turn, you know, that could sort of shake up the MacBook lineup.
Mm.
And maybe it could lead to sort of what you're talking about. And while you were talking about this, I was looking at the prices of all these different products just to try to compare, because the iPhone Air is what is it compared to the Pro? It's $100 cheaper.
Yeah.
Is that right?
$999 versus $1099,
and it's $300 less than the Pro Max, I think.
Yes. Or
because the Pro Max is like $1299.
I thought it's $1199.
Oh, let me double check. $1099, and then you're right. It's $1199, so it's $200.
Yes.
So, I think the thing that I was just looking at is the iPad Air is $600, and the Pro is $1,000.
Yeah.
So
big difference.
That's a $400 difference. That's a much bigger difference, and I was looking at some other things, but I think the point is like the Air being only $100 or $200 less than the Pro, there it's a little bit crowded. And I think as also the fact that you have the regular iPhone 17, which is what, $200 less, right? That one's $800, $1,000. It's $800 for the regular, $1,000 for the Air, and then $1,100 and $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
So I think having the regular phone at $200 less, and it's better than the Air in, you know, some ways, battery life, having a second camera, I don't know, maybe there's other ways, the ultra wideband potentially, but like, you know, like that difference, and then you spend an extra $100 to go up to a Pro, or an extra $200 to a Pro Max. I feel like the iPhone is more crowded than the Max and the iPads. I know the Mac is like, what is it? It's $1,000 for the Air, and then it's like the cheapest Pro is what, like $1,500, $1,600, something like that?
Yeah, it's I'm doing this off the top of my head. I think it's $999 for the 13-inch Air, $1,199 for the 15, and then it goes to $1,599 for the M5 MacBook Pro, and then $1,999 for the higher tier. So yeah, they're again, it's like a $600 jump.
Yeah, and so I guess my thing is maybe with the iPhone Air, it's just too close together, and it's kind of being sandwiched by these two phones that are in some important ways better than the Air. And so you're kind of like, I could save money and get a regular phone. I could pay an extra $100 or $200 to get a Pro. And then the Air is just kind of right in the middle of this sort of crowded pricing space. And with phones, it's harder than with tablets and computers. But like, I think maybe that's part of the problem, mm-hmm. is that like the Air, it's having a hard time differentiating itself, both with the features, but also, you know, the pricing puts it in an awkward position.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You mentioned the low-cost MacBook, and I want to dive into that because I'm really fascinated by that. Basically, the rumors that we have right now are pretty slim. We don't know a ton in terms of its you know, functionality and its design. But from what Mark Gurman said, it's expected to be well under $1,000. So to me, that means not $899. I think we're talking realistically $799. That is where I think I can't see Apple coming in with a fully featured MacBook under that price, because then the problem is, and frankly, I didn't think Apple was going to do this in the first place, because, you know, most of the way that people buy a MacBook, if you're going to an Apple store, you you know, a lot of people will just go in and say, you know, what's the cheapest MacBook? I'll take that. and that, you know, that is going to cost Apple money because people are going to come in that would otherwise buy a MacBook Air. And now they're going to say, well, what's the point in spending the extra $200? I'll just save some money and buy that one. So it's going to be interesting to see how they position this. But I do hope that this opens the door, like you said, to make the MacBook Air feel a little bit more upscale. I would also like, okay, we talked about that price gap. So we know that next year we're coming up on a new generation of MacBooks. We've heard the rumors, OLED, Dynamic Island coming to the MacBook Pro. Very excited for that, obviously. But I wonder, could Apple do a sort of basic MacBook with an LCD at $899? It would look similar to a MacBook Air, but I'm, you know, I guess hoping that it would have a slightly different design with like whatever the next generation design cue is. And I'm just spitballing here, but like LCD, A18 Pro chip, 8 gigs of RAM, maybe, I guess, 256 gigs of storage, $899. And then they should do a revamped MacBook Air with OLED and ProMotion to kind of tier it up a little bit, M5 chip, or I guess by then M6, and, you know, just make it a little bit more premium. Maybe put in the effort to make it really, really thin, like ridiculously thin, like iPad Pro thin, I'm talking here. And then put that at like $1,199. And then I feel like that would be a pretty good lineup. You'd get, you know, your basics for $900, an extra $300 gets you the nice portable, and then another $300 on top of that, you get a Pro. That seems like a good ladder to me.
No, I completely agree. And I feel like we've seen this year that the base iPhone got ProMotion finally, mm-hmm. which I think unlocks the door for the MacBook Air to get it, yep. especially since we're expecting a redesign. I think that would make so much sense. And especially if, like, you know, if the new MacBook Pro is going to have OLED, take the screens that are in the current MacBook Pros and mini LED, whatever, put that in the MacBook Air, and then whatever screen the MacBook Air is using, put that in the MacBook. And then you have these three tiers that, you know, as you go up, the screen gets better. It can have better, you know, storage and RAM, you know, base, and maybe more ports. I don't know if the base MacBook could only have one port like the 12-inch MacBook did back in the day. Who knows? And then, you know, the MacBook Air has two, and the Pro has, well, three, and the extra I/O. Like, I agree. I think if Apple put a little bit of love into the MacBook Air, if they made it thinner, like you said, it's already really thin and light, and I love it, and I have it as my work laptop, and I love how thin and light it is. But I think that if Apple, like, elevated it to the next level with a better display, and they could somehow make it even a little bit thinner to like really differentiate it, then I think the regular MacBook could make sense. Mm-hmm. And that could still be, you know, like you said, $799 or $899 or, you know, whatever it's going to be. And there were rumors where there was going to be in a bunch of different colors, which is like the iMac was, and like that's pretty fun. It could have an LCD screen. It could have, like you said, 8 gigs and 256. I don't know if Apple would still do 8 gigs with, you know, trying to push Apple Silicon, but like maybe they would. Maybe they would do 16. And the base MacBook, maybe they won't offer that many like tiers. They could say this is the basic one. There's like one or two tiers of it. But if you want like more than 512 gigs of storage, you got to go to an Air. If you want more than 16 gigs of memory, you got to go to an Air. And like kind of ladder up in that way too. But I absolutely agree that there is room for three levels of Mac, and this would make a lot of sense for the Mac. And I kind of wish that Apple could do something like that for the iPhone, and then I think the Air would make more sense than it does now. I love the Air as it is now, mm-hmm. but I can understand why it doesn't make as much sense for a lot of people, and I think that that could help it to make a bit more sense for people.
Yeah. And look, I'm going to say something. I think I want to take that even further. I think that we need air across the board. I want every product category to have the basic functional one, the balls to the walls, all the features one, and the nice one. I want an Apple Watch Air that's like super thin, titanium. Maybe doesn't have as many sensors or something like that, but it's like really lean into the jewelry aspect of the Apple Watch. You know, because they've done editions, they've done the titaniums, the Hermes collaborations. You know what I mean? They've kind of gone in that direction a little bit with the standard Apple Watch. And then now we have the Ultra. So why not have Apple Watch aluminum only, Apple Watch Air titanium only, a little bit thinner, more premium band design, and then the Ultra. Then you have the iPhone Air, which, I mean, like we said, if they add another camera and improve the battery life, then boom, I'm done. I'm sold. I'm in it for the long haul. And then we have the MacBook Air. You ended up going for the MacBook Air because, you know, you liked that idea of like, I want the thin and light. But in going for the MacBook Air right now, you give up on the display quality. So this would be another such situation where I'm like, okay, look, I'm willing to spend a bit more. I don't need it to be the bare bones MacBook. But at the same time with Apple Silicon, I don't need to spend the money on performance. So if I have the option to buy this really thin Face ID, OLED ProMotion, M6 chip that is just like so sleek and sexy, I'm going to buy that. Absolutely. I would daily that 13 or 15 inch size. And then, I mean, heck, even the Mac, even the desktop, right? You could totally rebrand the iMac as being like a Mac Air or something. I don't know. Maybe that one's a little bit more, that's a little bit tougher. But for the iPad even, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much thinner you could get an iPad than what we currently have. But like, you know, why not make the iPad Air into an actual product? Because for the past 4 years, the iPad Air has been, what if your iPad Pro was artificially worse?
Yeah, no, I agree. And then because there's like the base iPad is kind of weird. It's like not, the base iPad is not particularly good. The Air is kind of the real base iPad. But I agree, it's not thinner than the Pro. It's weird. It's like, I wonder if Apple could take what is currently the Pro and kind of make that the Air. Mm-hmm. And then they could do a beefier, slightly beefier iPad with, I guess, more power. Not that it really needs it, but like theoretically more power. Or maybe they put a second port on it or something. That was, I think, a rumor some time ago. Like, I don't know. They could do it. And then we need AirPods Air. That's an important, that's what they're going to call it too.
Yeah.
AirPods Air.
I like that. There's a symmetry in that.
AirPods Air.
Exactly.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it just, I really do, I guess we don't really know now, right? Because the iPhone Air has not been the start of this like crazy new idea like I had hoped. And Apple has had not great experiences in the past with like the 12-inch MacBook. The 12-inch MacBook was basically what we're describing for a MacBook. It was a premium device that wasn't super functional, but that made you kind of go, ooh, I want that. However, the difference there, I think, is that the 12-inch MacBook was just a little bit too early. It was on Intel, and it was slow as balls, and it, you know, had overheating issues, and it was a little bit too small of a display to be practical. And I think those things kind of took it down a notch. Maybe that's the iPhone Air, right? Maybe this is the 12-inch MacBook of iPhones. But I just hope that, unlike the 12-inch MacBook, Apple learns from what didn't go well and actually takes the time and effort to make it work. Because they didn't do that with the 12-inch MacBook. They spec bumped it in 2016 and 2017. Didn't address the underlying issues at all, and then just killed it off forever. And it's, you know, I'm salty about it. I'll say it. I think that that was the wrong move, and they should have brought it back under Apple Silicon at the very least. Maybe that's kind of what's happening with this new low-cost MacBook. Who knows? But the long and the short of it is, I want Apple to take the Air name and make it something again. I don't want it to just be the less than a pro. I want it to be its own thing.
You want to make Air great again?
I do. I'm MAGA.
That's funny.
Oh, God.
God. Yeah, someone clip that and take it out of context.
Oh, no.
No, see, I completely agree with you. Not on you know, what you said, but what you meant.
Yeah.
Which is that, you know, I, for a long time, have been very much like, oh, I got to get the best one. I got to get the Pro. I talked about it with the iPhones, with the Mac. I have, you know, my M1 Max with 64 gigs of unified memory, which is quite frankly ridiculous. I don't need that.
And I told you that at the time, by the way. I said, don't go more than, you need 32 is fine. And you were like, I want 64.
Yeah, I know. But I was like, yeah, because I'm like, oh, I got to have the best. That was my mindset back then. And look, to be fair, I've had this computer since 2021 and it's been great and I'm still happy with it. You know, I do want to get a MacBook Air just because it'll be a lot nicer for traveling, but I still am very happy with this computer. But for a long time, my mentality was like, I got to have the best one. But now my mentality is like, I kind of just want like the nicest one. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be the best one. I don't need 100% of the power. As much as I hate to admit that to myself, I'm not, you know, pushing this thing to its limits. I would be fine with a MacBook Air. I'd be perfectly fine with a MacBook Air. Maybe once in a blue moon, I would be like, oh, this is a bit slow for what I'm doing. But like 99% of the time, I would be very happy with it. And so now I'm just kind of like, great, I can save a bit of money and I can, you know, get something that is just as nice for me and maybe even nicer because the Air is so much thinner and lighter and more portable and I travel a lot. And like, that is a benefit, you know, that you weigh against, I guess, better performance. But I agree with you that if when I'm at that point where I'm like, I don't need the best, the most powerful thing, but I still want to get a really nice thing. If there's an option that is specifically, this is not the most powerful one, but it is the nicest one, like, I think I would go for that pretty much every time in any Apple product. And so I agree, it would be great if Apple had an option for every you know, product in their lineup, and I'd probably just go with that option every time because, you know, things are good now. Apple Silicon's great. Things are great now. You don't need the most powerful one, most people.
Yeah.
You just want something nice.
I think that's a really key aspect of it, right? It's our tech is so good now that I don't feel like I have to be on the bleeding edge of performance. When it comes to the MacBook, these chips are so powerful now that like even an M5 MacBook Pro is probably more than almost everybody could possibly need. It's almost at a point now where it's gonna be challenging for Apple to justify making their chips this powerful. Like, honestly, I've always been, you know, get a max chip if you need it. But now I'm like, honestly, don't even bother. The pros are already overkill. And the regulars are more than fine. So paying $3,800 for a M4 Max, forget about it. You don't need that. If it's $2,000 in a Mac Studio, sure. That's a different story. But let alone an Ultra chip. My goodness. The Ultra chips are becoming so unnecessary. I agree with this comment saying I think the Mac Pro will go away soon. These chips are getting so good that it's like, and the level of performance is so high that it is reducing the number of people that need these extreme ends of it. That wasn't the case 7 years ago. 7 years ago, it was like, please Give me every ounce of performance possible. And the limitation was, I don't want to spend $50,000 on a Mac Pro. Sorry, I guess I'll have to settle. Now, it's like, wow, my Mac Pro, I see it over there with my M2 Ultra. And every time I use my M4 Max laptop, I'm going, huh, they're not that different. This 40-pound desktop and my laptop that I bring in a backpack. And the same for phones. I don't need the insane, you know, level that we're at now. I'm perfectly happy with the nice option instead of the best option. So, I don't know. We've gone a little bit over time here, but I think it's a good discussion. And I'm really hoping that we can see, even if the iPhone Air doesn't work out, that we can see some of this trend spread a little bit.
Yeah, the last thing that I want to add before we end is I completely agree with you. I feel like the interesting thing, you know, the current performance, you take even an M5, a base M5 chip, it's already more power than most people need. And so to your point, talking about does Apple even need to make their chips more powerful, I think it's really interesting because for most people, at least right now, they probably don't. Like they've been making these big performance gains every year that like they really don't need to do. And so it's kind of interesting that like the main people that benefit are the people that are pushing these things to their limits and doing like, you know, professional grade, I don't even know what it would be, video editing and like animation and like rendering and maybe some crazy programming and AI. I don't know what it would be, but like whatever some people are doing. But I feel like Apple generally tends to cater to, you know, the common people, the larger market, and they do have a space for pros, but it's not their main focus. And so it will be interesting to see, like, is Apple gonna start to lose out on the pro base a little bit more just because they don't need to? Like, are they gonna keep up this pace that they've been going at and keep making things better, which is unnecessary for a lot of their customers, but it's good for some of them? Or is Apple eventually going to say, look, you know, it's already good enough. Do we really need to do this? And I don't know. It's just interesting to see what's going to happen, you know, to Apple in the future. Is the Apple of the future going to look different than the Apple of, you know, the Intel days? We're kind of early in the Apple Silicon days. But like, if you compare Apple in the Intel days, it was a different story. You know, I feel like Apple's still there a little bit. But like going forward, is Apple going to sort of relax a little bit more and, you know, whatever, or is that not going to be the case? I think it's very, very interesting to see what will happen in the future. But we can leave it there and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's definitely, oh gosh, there's a lot more that I want to say. Especially, okay, my final thought.
Okay, this is it.
I'm working on a video that'll come out hopefully sometime this week on the new Framework 16. Where they've spec bumped it, they're using the new Ryzen 9 AI Max HX370. The new AMD processors are a mouthful, bro. They are. It's like okay. And they have a new and they now have an RTX 5070 in that laptop. And what I found really interesting was when you compare these flagship Windows products to the Mac, like Apple is outperforming them by a lot. I tested it, dude. The M4 Pro compared to this is, I believe, AMD's flagship mobile CPU. And the M4 Pro, which is not the flagship CPU, is 60% faster.
Wow.
60%. I was like, I ran it and I was like, did I like have it on the low power mode or something? You know, in a Windows laptop and they throttle all the time because you're on battery or whatever, and it all of a sudden you get 40% the performance. Nope.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. I don't really keep up with Windows laptops as much, and I had not realized how big a lead Apple was getting. Because they are just pumping. And, I mean, I'm glad that they do it. I don't think that... I feel like, honestly, like, you know, they've got the team, clearly. I thought after M3 was a pretty big jump, and then M4 was a really big jump. I thought, okay, M5, they're going to cool. They're going to cool off a little bit. Nope, M5, another major jump. So I'm like, damn, okay. If you guys got the goods, I'll see it. Let's get stupid with it, you know? Let's get more and more powerful. If it doesn't increase the price, and if it doesn't make the computer run hotter, sure, give me it all. I'll take it. And let's just see what happens, frankly. But for now, the thing that we have to see what happens is the next episode that we do. I think it'll be early December, realistically.
Okay. I think it'll be, in theory, I should be able to do December 7th. So okay. Maybe then.
Sweet. Okay. Well, that's a great plan. And then we didn't do the recap thing that we said we were going to do in the pre-show. So let's, in December, we'll do philosophical. We'll kind of go over everything that happened in 2025, and we'll do an autopsy on how's Apple doing, how's everything going. I think it's a good plan,
for sure,
to be sure. One thing is set certainly for sure, and that is that I've been your host, Luke Miani,
and I've been your host, Noah Rubin. We will see you next time, and have a great night.
Take care.